Welcome to Mercedes-Benz Audio Experience's Natural Beauty, an audio road trip through Canada. Banff and Jasper National Parks are among the most beautiful national parks in Canada, with snow-capped peaks, turquoise green lakes, glaciers, and wildlife. The only thing that is less easy to find is the seclusion we had hoped for. We got to the bottom of this in the EQE 350 4MATIC SUV. Not many places rub one's own mortality in their face quite like mountains covered by glaciers, those millennia-old unbalanced masses of ice that have shaped peaks and carved valleys in the course of the Earth's history, and in doing so, have secured themselves first place among the most powerful natural sources of erosion on the planet. Who are you in the face of these elemental forces that can move mountains? Such questions almost force themselves on you in the Canadian Rockies. They appear like a silhouette on the horizon when you leave Calgary behind and loom up on you on the Trans-Canada Highway. An elongated massive, at first almost tiny, then suddenly huge. The highest peaks here reach just under 4,000 meters. Not the stuff of world records, but they do make for some perpetual snow cover and extensive ice fields. The mountains stack up higher and higher in front of us, becoming steeper and more jagged, and suddenly we are in the middle of them all, with the snow-white EQE SUV under the white-gray peaks of the Rockies, above us an admirable blue that only alpine regions can paint in the sky like this. We want to explore the Canadian Rockies and the Icefields Parkway, considered one of the most beautiful roads in the world, in the all-electric EQE. We want to experience Canadian seclusion and cross two national parks, which, and the superlatives continue here too, are among the most beautiful on Earth: Banff National Park and Jasper National Park. We are not alone in our quest. Canadian mountains and turquoise lakes are tourist evergreens that lure millions every year. Cars speed along the highway like a string of pearls. We leave the slower traffic behind us with the EQE SUV's effortless acceleration. Only ambitious drivers in gigantic long-haul trucks challenge us for the left lane. We drop back, switch on the Distronic, and take our foot off the accelerator, leaving the Mercedes to control the preset speed and distance to the vehicle in front of us. We glide along, the quiet hum of the electric vehicle no longer a dream of the future. Country music is booming from the Burmester loudspeakers as a band sings of longing and lonesome summer nights. We let our thoughts wander and wonder how much loneliness awaits us in the coming days. Before we set off on the Icefields Parkway, we recharge in Banff, not just the battery, but also in terms of culinary and cultural desires. We stop at one of the free charging stations in the city's central car park, stroll along traffic-calmed Banff Avenue, and enjoy the view of Cascade Mountain towering over the city. If there is one place that is emblematic of the many ways to explore the region, it has to be Banff Avenue, the city's main tourist artery. Tour operators in wood-clad buildings advertise hikes, horse riding, mountain bike tours, and rafting. They sell t-shirts and magnets, as well as fine art photography and small edition art prints. The Banff Centre promotes a string concert and the renowned Mountain Film and Book Festival. The restaurants serve up the full gastronomic range of North America. There's beef and bison, of course, but also lighter options and more vegetarian and vegan alternatives. Banff really has everything to offer. The amenities are endless, says Atticus Garrett, who should know. It's luxurious, elegant, and blends the old with the new. Atticus Garrett is the executive chef, responsible for the restaurants of the Fairmont Banff Springs. He has a significant influence on the culinary scene in the city, since the luxury hotel above the Bow River not only has 739 rooms, but also boasts 12 restaurants. Built in 1888 as the resort's first hotel and modeled on a Scottish castle, the Fairmont Banff Springs is an exclusive destination for those who can afford the five-star prices. For everyone else, it serves as an iconic postcard motif and reliable source of Only in Banff anecdotes. There is said to be a lady black bear near the golf course, for example, who likes to take her afternoon nap on the green. Atticus Garrett loves these stories and is generally addicted to the region's beauty. You hear the water, the wild animals, the wind in the trees. You feel the fresh air, see the incredible texture of the mountains. It's just amazing. Sometimes I feel like I'm living in a simulation. The immaculate beauty of the place, which has been repeatedly modernized in recent years, always sends the brain on a mind-boggling excursion. For example, when one of the wild wapiti deer that like to roam the town center stops in front of a hotel, chewing birch leaves. You just have to pinch yourself for a moment and remind yourself that you are really watching a wild animal and not just an extra posing for the traveler's cameras. Only glacial lakes can shine like Toojak Lake near Banff. Fine particles of pulverized rock in the water scatter the sunlight so that it looks blue-green. And as if Toojak Lake wasn't impressive enough in its own right, Mount Rundle looms on the opposite side, looking like a massive stone wave in all its dramatic sharpness. Get up early and you will be treated to another spectacle here, Alpenglow, an almost supernatural play of light in which the rising sun first colors the peaks violet, then amber and vermilion. The spectacle is an attraction and no longer an insider tip either. Although we left really early, too early according to our bodies, we are not the first ones at the lake. Two photographers have set up their tripods. A sleepy family has pulled out four mobile phones at once, filling them with pictures of the mirror-smooth lake. Shortly before sunrise, everyone, like us of course, wants to find the perfect photo spot while at the same time trying not to run into each other. Because even if the shore is slowly filling up, these photos are supposed to be showing Canadian seclusion, if you don't mind. After sunrise, a convoy of caravans turns into the car park. People with huge thermo mugs gaze at the lake. A canoe is unloaded and launched. The solitude is still there for the taking on the lake. We drive back to Banff, get a flat white at the White Bar Cafe, and a few extra kilometers of range at the fast charging station, somewhat tucked away in a car park. Then we make our way to Lake Louise, a good 45 minutes away. We want to know if Canadian seclusion really exists, or if it is just a figment of our imagination, a fairy tale we have succumbed to through the internet, social media, and various travel guides. Lake Louise answers the question about seclusion with a resounding no. Flashing signs indicate the parking space is completely full and closed to other cars, so we take the bus. Situated above the town of the same name, Lake Louise is one of the most beautiful lakes in the region and is also so popular because it offers the perfect photo motif. Glaciers in the background, turquoise green color in front, and a signature boathouse. Those who arrive early, or take the bus, will get their award. Several hiking trails lead around the lake and up into the mountains. You hardly notice the other travelers in the terrain. Experienced hikers can climb one of the many peaks, while the less experienced can hike to Lake Agnes Tea House in a good hour. The cafe is only accessible on foot. Fresh produce is transported to the hut by backpack, and non-perishable goods are flown to the summit by helicopter once a year. After we leave Lake Louise in the direction of the Icefields Parkway, we finally feel it. That first sense of Canadian remoteness. There are still cars in front of us, but first they become fewer and further between, and then a sign appears. No cell service for 230 kilometers. Shortly afterwards, another sign tells us that there are no more petrol stations either. The same applies to charging stations. Perhaps part of the beauty of the Icefields Parkway also lies in the fact that it is actually off-grid. The section of Alberta Highway 93 North owes its name to the Columbia Icefield, a gigantic mass of ice that measures more than 350 meters at its thickest point, feeds 8 glaciers and rivers that carry water in all directions, some of which flow into the Pacific, others into the Atlantic. We stop at Bow Lake and the Crowfoot Glacier above it, at Peyto Lake with its distinctive wolf shape. We admire the Weeping Wall with its waterfalls, which ice climbers like to climb in winter, and the Big Bend, the only serious curve on the route. The EQE SUV takes the 230-kilometer drive completely in its stride with its range. What the route, and also the intelligent route planning system that monitors our range and gives us polite directions, does not reveal at first glance, however, is the many places where you can turn off. Stop, get out, marvel. A 3-hour drive can spontaneously stretch into a whole day if you give in to every temptation to turn into another parking bay. We get off at the Athabasca Glacier. Tourism has regained a foothold here. Tourists can drive around the ice field in caterpillar-like buses and walk a few hundred meters further on the Columbia Icefield Skywalk. We choose to admire the glacier and breathe. To take a breather, as they say here. Lost in thought. A car door slams. A Sri Lankan couple gets out next to us and starts chatting. They are on a year-long trip around the world, they tell us, have just come from the USA, but the beauty here is even more overwhelming. It just hits differently. The two pull out their cameras, take a photo, then they leave again. They spent all of 5 minutes in front of the Athabasca Glacier. Get out, take a photo, drive on. This is also the Icefields Parkway. The looming clouds almost look more dramatic in the smartphone photo than in reality. But can you also feel the mountain air and the wind of the glaciers that way? The glacier remains silent. What could it possibly say? The road stretches dead straight towards the horizon, above which mountains of clouds now await us. The first raindrops land on the EQE SUV's expansive panoramic roof. As the weather changes, so does the mood of the landscape. Where the valleys were narrow and the peaks dramatic in Banff, sweeping valleys and wide riverbeds now stretch out before us. We have arrived in Jasper National Park, the park that may not shine quite as much as its southern neighbor, but nevertheless has a charm all of its own. Jasper is the wild counterpart to Banff, like a journey into the past, to a time before tourism reached its current proportions. The place is rougher, almost rugged, but endearingly down to earth. As if turning up to order, a never-ending cargo train crawls over the rails running through the center of the village when we arrive. And in place of haute cuisine, there are bars serving burgers with mountains of fried potatoes and football broadcasts onto oversized screens. Jasper is wild, no question about it, says Ross Pugh, who could actually have retired long ago, but loves the region so much that he still takes visitors to the surrounding mountains in the summer months. And in my eyes, it's the best place to see animals. Those who book a tour with Pugh through Maline Adventures usually want just that. To watch brown bears, grizzlies or moose, wapitis or bighorn sheep. Jasper National Park is home to more than 50 species of wild animals. And tourists regularly set out on their tracks. Even with the high number of visitors, the relationship between humans and animals has relaxed in recent years, says Pew. This is despite the fact that a bear on the side of the road can trigger a bear jam, a spontaneous traffic jam when everyone stops and can hardly believe their luck. As short as these encounters often are, he hopes that they trigger something in the visitors. I hope they leave the national park with a greater appreciation for nature and wildlife and realize that it needs to be preserved. On our last morning, the road towards Maleen Lake is deserted. The darkness of the night is only just lifting. No cars are coming towards us. Finally, the road trip delivers on the promise it made to us on the first day. The road whispers quietly of adventures waiting around the next bend, tells stories of departures and new beginnings. The music in the car is quiet, the conversations intense. Sometimes they fall silent altogether. Those who remain silent can listen to their own thoughts better. Suddenly, a brown bear crosses the road right in front of us. We stop, stay in the car, hardly dare to breathe. It's not unusual to see wildlife here, but we didn't expect to get so close to the bear. Pew is right. An encounter with a wild animal is unique. It resonates, just like a trip through the Canadian Rockies. The bear doesn't notice any of this. It doesn't care about us. It's not disturbed by any noise from us either. Slowly, it trots on, not even looking at us. We put the indicator on, drive on, full of anticipation of what might be waiting for us around the next bend. This was the Mercedes-Benz audio story, Natural Beauty, an audio road trip through Canada.